Community Radio.
It's about real people.
Not sound bites.
Not more talking heads.
Not on this show.
Interchange is a community access media forum fostering unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Conversations that challenge the ways we perceive the world around us.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Hello and welcome to Interchange. My name is Lisa Marie Napoli and I'm happy to be your host this week as we have representatives from the Earth Care Group of Bloomington in the studios of WFHB. We have with us here at WFHB Al Rusink, who grew up on a family farm, a dairy and poultry farm in southern Michigan. He's a recently retired biology faculty member at IU here locally. He's an active member at the First United Church and a co-convener of Earth Care with David Roop. And we also have with us, sitting next to Al, we have Stephanie Kimball. She began her work in global climate change with a Step It Up initiative, which was a group that was just before 350.org, if anyone's familiar with Bill McKibben's work, and that happened in 2007. She's also co-chair for the Green Sanctuary Task Force at the Unitarian Universalist Church, and currently program manager for Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light. So thank you both for being here to discuss the work of Earth Care and Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light tonight on Interchange.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Great. So Earth Care is a very unique and special group in Bloomington that has made a difference in a lot of faith communities around the area. As I checked the website, I noticed that it seemed like the mission was that Earth Care seeks to listen to and work with all concerned religious communities and individuals in order to create an ever-widening circle of care for creation. And I like there was a part two. I noticed it's talked about bringing Hoosiers of faith together to help curb global climate change. So, Al, would you like to start talking to us a little bit about what is Earth Care to you and how you've seen the work developing over the past, 5 years now or so?
Sure. The thing that Earth Care focuses on is the need to minimize release of greenhouse gases, primarily carbon dioxide, but methane is a real problem too in our atmosphere, both of which obviously for climatologists are changing the way that our atmosphere around us behaves in ways that are somewhat unpredictable and are going to greatly harm some people on Earth. So Earth Care was formed to try to help people understand that this is happening as we use fossil fuel energy is the big problem here. And Earth Care then tries to help us save dollars by minimizing our use of coal and petroleum and fossil fuels. The thing that is especially important about Earth Care, because there are a lot of groups that are beginning to worry about carbon footprint and carbon dioxide. The thing that's especially important about Earth Care is that it is a group of faith communities. And faith communities, I think, have a special way of looking at our environment as provided by a power of some sort above and beyond us that we have a responsibility to for taking care. Stewardship is a word that comes to mind in many of our faith-based communities. So Earth Care is one of many groups concerned about climate change that's resulting from greenhouse gas emissions, but it is special in the sense that it is faith-based. And for me personally, it's been very important to work with Buddhists and the mosque and the synagogue folks, as well as mainline and evangelical Christian groups that are a part of the at least 21 groups in Bloomington that are now active participants in EarthCare.
Great. So it sounds like the common cause that brings all of these diverse groups together from these various faith traditions is to essentially minimize the carbon footprint in our area as much as possible.
That's certainly true. And one of the first efforts that EarthCare made was to do carbon workshops where people in classes that sometimes were one-day super class, but other times were broken down into 6 or 8 classes, worked on ways to change their lifestyle so that their religious house of worship as well as their own personal home became more environmentally friendly, releasing less greenhouse gas.
Great. And could you, or Stephanie, could you give some examples of some of those workshops that have been put on by EarthCare to spread the word to the different interfaith groups?
Why don't I let Stephanie talk about the carbon footprint workshops, since she was involved in that. EarthCare started in 2007, and I don't remember exactly when I got started, but it was 2 or 3 years after that, and Stephanie was on much earlier and has been involved in those workshops.
Yeah, actually, that was one of the first things that we did was we offered a Cut Your Carbon workshop to people who were interested in reducing their energy usage in their homes. And so many people signed up that we found we didn't have enough facilitators. And so a dozen of us carpooled up to Indianapolis to get trained as facilitators for these groups. And we came back and we did something like 15 low-carbon diet workshops. We ended up calling them Cut Your Carbon. You'll hear us call them all different things because we found that people, when they saw Cut Your Carbon, no, a low-carbon diet, some people actually showed up thinking that they were going to learn how to lose weight. So so we called them Cut Your Carbon workshops, and we called them Cut Your Cost with a little CO2 for the cost. And so these workshops...
Could you give a sense of some of the topics that were covered or
sure.
tips that people learned?
Yeah, they covered, they gave a whole menu of options for how you could accomplish a reduction of your greenhouse gases in your home. So it's anything from sealing your air lakes to quit using your dryer, hang out your clothes on a clothesline instead, or reduce your trash output, increase your recycling, all these kinds of things. Little simple behavioral changes or bigger things like insulating your attic. And this was a program that's put out by the Empowerment Institute, and it's available online. It's a real nice program, and like I said, we did go up for training, but you really don't need training. You can pick up a copy of this book and
Cut Your Carbon would be the Google term to look for, presumably.
Low carbon diet, actually.
Low carbon diet. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So.
Good. And these were put on at different. Homes of the faith congregations involved in EarthCare? Is that how it was set up?
I think they were all held in different congregational spaces. Yeah. Some of them were interfaith, and some of them were, you know, one faith community would just come together and put it on themselves. So we did that for a while, and then when that didn't seem to appeal anymore, we moved on to different kinds of programs.
Okay, great. Could you please?
Well, let me talk about another program that I just love to talk about. It's Wabakus. And with a name like Wabakus,
yeah.
You get people's attention. They don't know what the heck you're talking about until you've done a little more with it. Wabakus is a special program for Sunday or synagogue Saturday activities, or Friday for the mosque. Wabakus stands for You Walk, or bicycle, or carpool, or bus, and that all comes together
combined.
As Wabakus. And we have typically, over the last 3 or 4 years, chosen a Sunday in May and a Sunday in September or October to stress Wabakus, where people are asked to bicycle or walk or carpool. And you know, this is kind of neat because the carpooling one is often a time when individuals that normally just drive themselves can think, oh, Susie or Joe doesn't usually make it because they've got mobility problems, and I can carpool and pick them up and take them to service. So it brings people to service that otherwise wouldn't even manage to make it. And Walbecus has been fun to do. It has spoken to me because when I came to Bloomington in 1967 and started looking for a place to buy a house and a style to develop in Bloomington, I looked at the supply of fossil fuels, particularly petroleum, and projected ahead and said, you know, we're going to run out. And I didn't know anything about the problem with CO2 in the atmosphere because that wasn't apparent. But I knew that we were going to run out of petroleum. And so I said, I want to make an effort to bicycle. And Walbecus has appealed to me because I've commuted by bike for all 45 years at IU. And here in Bloomington, you can do that right through the winter, because those of us that grew up in Michigan or Wisconsin or Vermont
right.
are not at all flummoxed by a little bit of snow on the ground when we're bicycling.
Great. That's very inspiring to hear. And I've heard people's testaments of participating in these Walbecus weekends, where they start to realize the sort of challenges you have to overcome to get on certain roads to be able to bicycle or to walk places. But it helps get them out and give it a try, you know. Mm. And a lot of people have been inspired to change their patterns because of some of these weekends. That's mm-hmm. at least what rumor has and what I've heard. Uh-huh.
We have so a woman great. Who comes to our church regularly, who brings a three-year-old on a bike seat in front of her on the bike, and her five-year-old is on a trailer behind. And they routinely ride, the three of them, comfortably on a bike. It's not Walbecus special right. for them. It's Walbecus practically every week.
That's an impressive image to hold in one's mind. That's very exciting. So you named a couple of different programs that you've done. Would you like to talk about more, Stephanie? Any others that you'd like to bring up that have happened
sure.
over the years?
We also have a green team that visits different congregational buildings and helps them figure out what plan of action to take to reduce the or increase the efficiency of those buildings.
And I can talk about that since I've been on that
yeah.
team.
Great, please.
It has to do with lighting. The LED lights are coming along now. They're expensive, but they will illuminate a sanctuary from pretty high up. Originally, just a few years ago, the technology was not there. And so we were talking about compact fluorescence and other things. Now the LEDs, which are even more efficient, mm-hmm. are there. So the light-emitting diode LED lights are something that can be considered. Timers on lights are important. There's no need to have parking lots illuminated all night long when nobody is around. Another thing that we look at carefully is isolating various parts of the faith community building, because some parts are used regularly, typically, and other parts are used very seldom. And there's no reason to air condition or heat the whole facility when only a tenth of it is being used for a couple of days. And so that's another thing. We also did some crawling up into attics and looked at insulation and other things as part of the Green Team visits. As a Green Team member, I learned more than I probably provided in help to the congregations. But working with other people who are expert in particular areas was just very helpful for everyone concerned.
Well, it sounds like it worked both ways in terms of you coming in to help them and them in turn helping you to perhaps see new insights about things. That sounds like from a management perspective, you know, regarding the faith communities, like a very wise approach to take to get this Green Team evaluation done. Does EarthCare still provide that? Is that still an option, or is it something?
It's still an option. We're not doing it as often as mm-hmm. we did a couple of years ago. I suspect that if one were to say, where is EarthCare's focus now, it would probably be on trying to get the EarthCare ideas into the homes of faith community members. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, to encourage those who are not faith community based to become interested in being part of the effort to decrease their carbon footprint, their carbon dioxide emissions.
What seems so unique about EarthCare is you're focusing on the facilities of all of the different faith congregations that are involved with your group, and also, as you're saying, this next step of trying to get more into the homes of the members of these congregations. And I'm even hearing a third layer of people who are not involved in faith communities but still want to better manage their home and make it more efficient to reduce their carbon footprints as well. So that's a pretty powerful scope that you have that I think works well.
And Lisa Marie, I think one of the important things to me has been the idea of consciousness raising. That, you know, I knew a lot of the kind of the factual information, and I've lectured about the CO2 in the atmosphere and used the same old transparency that I used 30 years ago, and just have crossed out year after year the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere. So it shows that I started at 300 and I'm now at 390. And if I were to continue to lecture, I'd have to go to 400 in a year or two parts per million in the atmosphere. That's sure. a big change. That's a consciousness raising that I've been through and that I try to share with those around me.
Great. Well, that's a wonderful note to end this first segment of Interchange with. Please stay tuned. We're speaking with Al Rusink and Stephanie Kimball from the EarthCare Group of Bloomington. And we were just talking about the consciousness raising of minimizing our carbon footprints. And come back for more in the next segment. We'll be right back.
Support for WFHB comes from Taste of India, a locally owned and operated restaurant featuring a lunch buffet open 7 days a week with a variety of vegan and vegetarian options. Taste of India is located at 316 East 4th Street, next to the fire station. Dine in or call ahead for takeout or home delivery. 333-1399.
Welcome back to Interchange. I'm Lisa Marie Napoli, and I'm here with Al Rusink and Stephanie Kimball from EarthCare, a group in Bloomington. They are a group that seeks to listen to and work with all concerned religious communities and individuals in order to create an ever-widening circle of care for creation. In other words, they want to help reduce the carbon footprint that's being made here in our local community. So thanks for tuning into this conversation. We've been hearing about a lot of the EarthCare programs, and there's another one we want to move to. And I'd like to ask about the program, the Task of the Month. And I'm wondering, Stephanie, would you like to begin to address what that program is that EarthCare offers?
Sure. The Task of the Month program is a program for reducing household energy use. And it came out of the realization that there were lots of people who cared a lot about this issue of energy reduction, and even that knew really what to do, but were maybe feeling overwhelmed that there's just so much to do, and people don't really know, well, where do I start? What's the most important thing? And, well, there are 10 most important things, so what do I do now? And it just kept getting pushed to the back burner a lot. So what we did is we came up with a program that focuses on one task per month, hence the name. And they range from very simple things like wrapping your water heater and or wrapping your water pipes so that you're not losing energy from the heated water, to, again, hanging your laundry and air drying it instead of using your energy-intensive dryer, changing light bulbs, sealing air leaks, looking for phantom energy. That's the energy that your appliances or electronics might still be using even after you've turned them off. Things like that. And if you do all 12 of these tasks over the course of the year, if you haven't done them before, then you could save up to about $500 in your energy bills. And
wow, that adds up.
It adds up a lot, yeah. Now, what we find is that many people have already done some of the tasks, but that's okay because there are advanced tasks that they can do to save even more energy. But the nice thing about this program is that it's worked on through congregations. So a congregation takes on this program, and the hope is that many, or if not all, of the members of that congregation will join in and focus on each of these tasks each month. And what we found is that it helps people to know, okay, my job this month is to insulate my water heater, and I don't know how to do that, but everybody else is doing it, and the task of the month toolkit does come with explanations of how to do everything and where to find more information and all this. But not only that, I know that this is the task that everybody's focusing on, and so people can get together and do it together or trade ideas, or, you know, your water heater is right up against the wall, then you have people to talk to about how do you deal with such a thing, and so on for all the different tasks. And so it gets to be kind of a fun community building way of doing this, which is a lot better than just tearing your hair out trying to figure out what on earth to do.
Indeed. And Al?
We have a church monthly newsletter, and I try to put something about the task of the month in the monthly newsletter, and find that even after we've been through a year, the reminder with some suggestions, oh, last year you probably did, but have you thought about enhancing that? It is also helpful. Occasionally, I get a comment back from somebody. I was sweltering, and I went to my air conditioning thermostat, and I turned it down a degree. And Al, did you hear me apologize to you when I did this? but I was glad to be known for the person that was raising the consciousness, even if that were the case. Yeah.
Great. So when you talk to your representatives who are at your meetings at EarthCare, and they go to their congregations to talk to their members about how to implement these tasks, how do you get member buy-in? Like, I mean, it would seem that by telling them the benefits of it in terms of cost savings and betterment for the environment, that could be enough. But I'm just wondering, are there any sort of incentive?
There are different ways that this is done in different congregations. Some congregations have actually handed out pledge cards, and people
pledge to
try to reduce by a certain amount. Early on in my particular congregation, we devised a questionnaire that asked where they were to try to find out where we needed to get to. And if they were honest in their responses to me, a surprising number of people in the congregation had already completed essentially the task of the month kinds of things even before the church took it on as kind of a church project. Some churches have worked on a percentage of their total attendance that were willing to work on reducing their energy, their household energy, by a percentage, so that like they wanted 30% of the people to have reduced by 25% or something like that. So there are different ways that this can be used in individual congregations. Stephanie's Unitarian Universalist Church has done a lot with this. You have to speak to the things you've done there.
It's been fun in our congregation. We did this actually last year, 2011, and each month we had a drawing where people who were signed up to do the task could actually win a prize, and you know, why not? It's fun.
Sure.
And we had reminders in the service a couple times a month, and one of them was always in the children's moment, and it was always very entertaining. We have very creative people who find ways of making, I don't know, insulating pipes fun, believe it or not. Yeah. So we're lucky that way. But yeah, and just coming together, we had work parties. EarthCare actually did an event for Martin Luther King Day a couple of years ago where we trained teams. We had local volunteers, contractors, and whatnot who trained people to lead teams to go to people's houses on a cold day in January and do certain tasks for them. Again, the water heater keeps on coming up because that's actually January's task, and so it's like the first one in my mind. But but that's an easy thing that people can do in other people's houses. So that's one of the things that these teams did when they went out and worked on houses. And many people just said, you know, this was fun. It was an enjoyable way to spend an afternoon helping people out and learning some things along the way. And
sealing cracks so that people that have drafts no longer have those drafts and will realize the savings in their energy bills. It's just fun.
And there's nothing more entertaining than that can of great stuff. Squirting it into the holes.
Great. Well, great attitudes, and it seems like very promising work being done for people for the longer term future to improve our sustainability efforts and working with our modern world.
And I think Stephanie is modest. I think Task of the Month really came a lot out of her head and has been a very successful project for EarthCare to have undertaken.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Well, good to hear. And so, speaking of Stephanie, then, since you're currently program manager of Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that program. My understanding of it is it's somewhat of sort of an outreach program of EarthCare's work, but perhaps that's off base. Could you explain how EarthCare sort of got involved with Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light and what that is?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of fun talking to you about this right now because I first heard of Interfaith Power and Light from you.
Oh. So I forgot. <years ago. laughs> Come full circle. But,
right. So there was a, after EarthCare had gotten started, there were several of us who thought it would be a good idea to take this beyond the limits of Bloomington and see if we could form an EarthCare that would address the needs of the whole state. And during that time, that's when you brought our attention to Interfaith Power and Light, which is a national organization with state affiliates addressing, again, bringing together people of faith to curb climate change. So long story short, we contacted them and then also reached out to other groups that were active. There was a group called Indianapolis Green Congregations, obviously Indianapolis, and there was another group that was actually more like an individual who was very active in bringing together people. So we had a lot of discussions and ended up forming a statewide group with a board that's has statewide representation and across lots of different faiths. We officially launched in March of 2011, just last year, with a big interfaith ceremony that involved 19 different clergy, different faiths clergy, and like two or 300 people attending. And so it was really wonderful. And since then, we have been working to build an organization that can take this whole consciousness raising and energy reduction approach to things to communities around the state.
Great. So Interfaith Power and Light is a national affiliation, and so EarthCare is involved with the Hoosier aspect of it.
Right.
In terms of the state efforts.
Right. It's almost like there are three tiers if you want to look at it that way. There's a state, the national organization, and then there are 39 state affiliates now. And Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light is one of them. And then our approach is actually to establish these regional groups all over the state. So EarthCare is now, even though EarthCare preceded in time, but it is now an affiliate of Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light, along with Indianapolis Green Congregations, and we have a new one just recently formed in Muncie, which is really wonderful.
Great.
And so.
Good. And do you find that the missions are very aligned in terms of reducing the carbon footprint and that sort of thing?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Lisa Marie, it's hard for me to believe that we've gone this far in the interview without mentioning the name of a person who was absolutely essential to Earth Care of Bloomington and HIPL, Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light. And that's Mady Hirschland from
Indeed.
The Beth Shalom congregation here, who's had an energy level and a degree of perception of where to move when and how that is unbelievable. And so a lot of what we're seeing represents some long-term work that Mady's done for the community.
Thank you so much. We would be remiss without mentioning
Absolutely.
Mady's name.
Yeah. Yep.
So great. And so what sort of activities or results or impacts have you seen through the Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light work that's being done in the state, or even if you see some local impacts too?
Sure. Well, we, like I mentioned, we are concentrating now on helping additional communities form earth care type groups. And so part of my job is to visit cities, and I work with one of our board members who is a Baptist minister, and the two of us have come up with a workshop that helps bring people together in various communities. We were just in Lafayette last weekend, for instance, or weekend before last, where lots of people, this is what we find actually in every community, there are people who are very interested in this topic and very concerned about where we are and what we need to do about it, but they don't necessarily know each other. And this can be really, really lonely work, especially when you're not connected with other people who are concerned about climate change. So we sort of function as catalysts. We go into these communities and bring people together, and we share with them the tools and resources that we've been developing over the years. One of them is the Task of the Month program. And our hope is that these groups then will coalesce and then reach out to other congregations within their area and take on the Task of the Month program or other energy reduction programs. And that if they're doing their work there in Lafayette and we're doing it here in Bloomington and others are doing it in Muncie and Indianapolis and eventually Evansville and Richmond and Fort Wayne and so on, then we can make a huge difference. And we have to. We have very little time for all of this. And so there's a huge urgency to this, and that's what our hope is.
Great.
One of the things that's interested me is the confusion about acronyms. Mm-hmm. That Indianapolis Power and Light has been the power guys in Indianapolis area, and now we have Interfaith Power and Light, which is also IPL, and fortunately we're able to add the Hoosier part so that we get HIPL, and there is now a distinction that can be made. It's not exactly good guys and bad guys, but we don't want to be too confused here.
Sure. That makes good sense. So it sounds like, Indiana's, we're making our way one step at a time in this direction. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with, in terms of the nationwide perspective, like what state stands above the rest, or what states are ahead of the game in this manner? Are you aware of that? I'm just curious.
In terms of
the work that's being done and the buy-in from a lot of different parts of the state to take initiatives like Earth Care and do that kind of work.
Was California ahead of the game on HIPL?
California is where Interfaith Power and Light started. Mm-hmm. And of course, California is California. And
say no more.
Yeah.
Oh no, please.
So, yeah, but many states have well-established IPL groups, and so they've been working very hard for a long time, and they're doing wonderful things. And I had the great privilege of attending the IPL conference just in May. Each year, the representatives from all the 39 IPL affiliates get together and share ideas and hear from speakers and that kind of thing in Washington, D.C., and then we go and lobby, and it's a wonderful experience, and one of my favorite things about it is meeting people from all these different state affiliates and hearing what they're doing, because it's so inspiring just to know that we're not out here fighting this fight all by ourselves by any means. There are people doing really wonderful things everywhere.
Great. Well, we're hearing from Stephanie Kimball and Al Roos Sink from Earth Care, and also from Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light, doing really remarkable work in our local community and being part of a statewide effort for making efforts to reduce the carbon footprint through faith congregations and beyond. Let's just say like that. So you are tuned to WFHB and you're listening to Interchange. We're going to take a brief break here and we will return back for our last segment so you can hear more. So please stay tuned with us. Back to Interchange. Hello, welcome back. I'm Lisa Marie and glad to be with you here in the studios of WFHB. We have Al Roosink and Stephanie Kimball with us from Earth Care and Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light, doing really powerful work in our community to reduce the carbon footprint, primarily through the means of looking at faith-based congregations. So we just had a very interesting discussion in our last segment. Hopefully you were tuned in and listening to that, or if you just jumped in, you get to hear more about all of the great work being done by the Interfaith Power and Light Network in Bloomington, Indiana, and beyond. So let's see, where to begin? I guess one of the most interesting things perhaps for listeners is they're hearing a lot about Earth Care being an interfaith group and that it's filling a unique spot and, you know, a great focal place to get started in terms of getting the word out and education for people to learn how to be more energy efficient. So let me ask either of you, I don't know who would like to start, why the faith-based effort for this type of initiative?
Scientists can come at it from a scientific point of view, but many of us are not a scientist professionally, and most of us have some sense that there are powers beyond us that are important. Mm-hmm. No matter what our faith community, it's likely that part of that community's belief is that this earth was put here as a special place for human beings to do their thing. We're stewards. This was created by a God figure of some sort, And as we work within being a steward for the God that we believe in and about and of, probably in our sacred texts, there are statements that say, thou shalt, and then has something important to do with the preservation of plant and animal and other wonderful things about this earth that we're on. And so it's that basis in belief that we are anointed with a responsibility that is part of our deep abiding faith in a God figure that appeals to many of us.
Okay, and that seems to be a uniting piece. Stephanie?
Yeah, in addition to just the fact that all of the major faith traditions have caring for the earth as an integral part of responding to the Creator, they also all share a care for and compassion for the poor and for our neighbor. And we know that climate change is affecting the poor at first and the most. And these are the people who contributed least to the predicament that we're in. So there's a responsibility to do something, to change our ways, as a way of caring for other people. And of course, it's not just people, it's the rest of life as well.
Mm-hmm. So at the monthly Earth Care meetings, which I know happen on a monthly basis, what happens during those meetings and at the those times?
Okay, let me talk just a bit about that, and then Stephanie can set us straight. David Roop and I are co-conveners, and we've been kind of trading back and forth responsibility for alternate meetings, typically about 12 meetings a year. We usually meet on the first Wednesday evening of the month. And then if you check your calendars and wonder about when to meet with us, that becomes July 4th, which we decided was probably not a good evening for a meeting. So for this next month only, we're meeting on the second Tuesday, which would be July 10th. Did I get that right?
I
think that's right.
Sure.
July
10th.
Now, if you would like to attend one of these meetings, we're usually at First United Church on East 3rd Street. And we need to say something about the website.
Please.
Look for Earth Care of Bloomington, you'll get to our home website, and there you will find an update of the upcoming meeting, which is almost always in recent months been totally accurate and pertinent and so forth. We do work on the website. It is maintained quite well.
It's actually earthcareindiana.org, all one word. And you can find information there about our programs as well.
And HIPL has a website too.
HIPL, yes, HoosierIPL.org.
Okay, great. Would you like to say more about that, or?
No, that's fine.
And so, Al, would you like to talk specifically about
what happens at the meetings?
Yes.
That's what you asked, and
I
finessed
okay.
it, didn't I?
No problem.
What we do at the meetings is simply to share our winnings and our losings and our concerns. We like to share with each other what we've done that's working, where we've been. We like to commiserate when we've tried something that didn't work quite as well as we thought it should have.
That never happens.
Almost never happens. We're more often surprised positively than negatively. Right now, we're working on a project which we're calling our 40% project, because it's clear that the city of Juneau, when it had a major disaster with its power, was able to move to 60% of their usual power consumption and be just fine, thank you. They've since got their power back, and they've lost that big reduction. But that's given us a bit of a goal to shoot for. Mm-hmm. And so we are thinking about moving from Earth Care Bloomington to the congregations that make up Earth Care Bloomington, and then collaborating with IU, the city, and other entities that would like to make a major thrust to reduce the energy needed to power Bloomington and Monroe County. And this is partly a consciousness-raising thing, but we think we can have a major impact in carbon footprint reduction as well.
So are you shooting for 40% reduction? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what we're talking about. We're
it's
still
wonderfully
talking about
ambitious, whether, but great
it's
to
very
hear.
Ambitious. It's very ambitious. Yeah. And it gets people attention, yes, and that's part of what consciousness raising is all about.
Great.
Yeah, we tend to have ambitious goals, and part of that is because that's what's needed right now. And, people may have heard that the scientists are telling us that the window is closing. Our window of opportunity for acting on climate change is not very big anymore. We've had some 40 years to work on this, and we pretty much haven't done it yet. And so we really need to start pulling together as a community, as individuals, and reaching out to everybody that we can, and start making as big changes as we can. And hopefully our policymakers will join in at some point and make it a little easier for us. But in the meantime, efficiency and conservation, these are things that we can all do right now with, in many cases, very little expense and immediate results. So, and the 40%, a lot of us have found that it's actually not that hard to make really significant cuts in our energy use. Americans typically use, I don't even know what the number is, but it's a huge amount more energy than anybody else in the world. And simply cutting waste makes a big difference. So it's not that hard to get to even 50 or 60 or 75% in a lot of cases.
Okay.
One of the things that we haven't mentioned, again, it's kind of a surprise that we haven't, is the use of direct solar powering.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of Earth Care people are putting solar panels on their roof. And we had a very successful evening about a year ago where we had discussions of solar panel, and people had a chance to sign up and have their house assessed for the appropriate use of solar power. Some houses sit under wonderful old shade trees, and you don't want to cut down your shade trees just to put in a few solar power panels necessarily. But we've collaborated with SIREN, Southern Indiana Renewable Energy Network, I think is what the acronym stands for, who are the experts on utilization of solar power. And a number of our households are actually putting electricity back into the lines instead of using it because of the panels that are up on their roofs.
Okay.
And SIREN is continuing. They've done several of these presentations over the past year, and they are continuing. I know there are a couple more coming up in this summer. And organizations who are interested in learning about this can go to SIREN's website, and I believe that they are open to scheduling additional workshops or presentations for various organizations.
Great. Do you know the website offhand, or could they do a search for?
I believe it's sirensolar.org.
Okay, great. Are there any, SIREN seems to be a major collaborator with Earth Care or HIPL these days. I'm wondering, are there any other groups that you'd like to mention that you've done work with here locally?
Probably worth mentioning that those of us in Earth Care are really mourning the loss of Lynn Ostrom, because she worked on the way that local entities, she worked professionally on the way that local entities can affect the use of common resources, like fossil fuels being a common resource and often wasted because it's a common resource and so forth. And so Lynn was at some of our meetings and was important to us and is going to be missed for that reason on a very local basis.
Yes, thank you so much for mentioning her name. Such an incredible woman who's left such an imprint around the world, let alone Bloomington. So that's really nice to hear. Okay, so let's see, we just have about 4 or 5 minutes to wrap up here. And there's a lot we've talked about with the work of Earth Care and Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light. So I'm wondering, would you like to talk about, I know you talked a little bit about the 40%. That seems to be a major future project. And although I'd like to add, even though you've been saying that some of your goals have been ambitious, I feel like you've been reaching a lot of them too. So congratulations in that way.
Thank you.
Keep it ambitious then, if it keeps happening. Are there any other programs sort of coming through the pipeline, so to speak, that you'd like to mention that could be a part of what's coming up next in the work?
You sent around a question for us to think about. It's like 5 or 10 years ahead.
Yes.
And
sure.
I've thought about that a little, Lisa Marie. And my sense is that in 5 or 10 years, we're going to realize that some of the models are correct and that we're suffering droughts and major storms much more so than ever before. And we're going to have to be holding each other's hands and helping emotionally to get through this, as well as trying to work together to see if we can move things back to the way they have been heretofore. And when I say move things back, to think hard about getting carbon dioxide emission reduced really dramatically. Some of the modelers tell us that in order to kind of cap where we are and stay where we are, the 40% is only halfway there, and that we might have to reduce our carbon emissions by 80%. And you know,
that's
just almost overwhelming to think about. But as we find, and I suspect we may, find climate disturbances becoming more and more devastating, particularly to the poor and underprivileged and those who are living within a few feet of sea level, and there are a lot of people around the world that are living there. If the ocean is deeper, and it is going to get deeper and higher, it is moving that direction, and if the storms are fiercer, these people are going to be dramatically affected in a negative way, and we're going to have to be thinking together about how to deal with that.
Definitely. So we have just 2 minutes to wrap up. So I'm wondering what else you'd like to share with listeners before we close, based on your work and your experiences with Earth Care and Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light.
I would say one thing, and that is that we just recently had one or two more congregations join us. So the website says 20, but we're more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And the meetings are open meetings, our monthly meetings. And so if a person checks out the website and says, I might go to a meeting and see what's going on, they would be more than welcome. So I put that welcome out.
Wonderful. Thank you. We just heard from Al Rusink and Stephanie Kimball. Closing thoughts?
I'd have to say that the thing that I like best about working with Earth Care and also Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light is it's where I get my hope. And when I'm reading the news from the scientific community and that just keeps on pouring in, there's not a lot of hope on a daily basis. It's usually urgent. And it's very hard to just keep on working with that being the main thing in my head. When I go to an Earth Care meeting or when I go to a Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light event, I'm working with people who want to make a difference, and they know what they can do, and there are things that we can all do, and we can join in, and people will work on this all around the state and all around the country. And if we don't give up, then we can actually achieve this. And despite all of the doom and gloom, we can make it. And I hope that people will continue and join us and check out our website, use our resources, be in touch,
and have hope. That's a wonderful note. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you both again to Stephanie Kimball and Al Rusink from Earth Care, Hoosier Interfaith Power and Light. Really appreciate this inspiring discussion tonight for Interchange. WFHB thanks you, and I thank you as your host, Lisa Marie.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And special thanks to Allison Bektesh, producer and news director here at WFHB. Theme music is done by Jamil Effion. Thanks to Shane Young and Luis Malone as co-engineers this evening. And stay tuned. Jazz is next on WFHB.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers working in the studios of Community Radio WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana.
Interchange fosters unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Comments, suggestions, and program ideas may be sent directly to the Interchange staff.
The email address is news@wfhb.org.
That address once again is news@wfhb.org.